ChristianCommunity.com. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So this particular passage or this particular story begins with Jesus teaching the crowds. It says by the Lake of Gennesaret, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's not likely that this is the first time that Peter encountered Jesus. Because in the chapter before, we read about how Jesus came into Capernaum, Peter's hometown, and taught in the synagogue. And while he was there, he cast out a demon. So it caught people by surprise a little bit there. There was something pretty incredible that happened. It's likely that Peter was there. Then afterwards, he went to Peter's house, where he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, again, the text doesn't tell us for sure that Peter was there, but it's safe to assume that that happened. And if that didn't happen, at the very least, Peter heard about it, right? So this is not necessarily the first encounter that Peter had with Jesus. You also see in here that Peter addresses Jesus as master or rabbi. So right from the start, we know already that Peter knows there's something different about this Jesus guy, right? He's just not like everybody else. And even though he knows there's something different about him, he's never had an experience with Jesus quite like what he's going to have and what he has in this passage. So Jesus is teaching people near the shore, and Peter and his men are washing their nets nearby. He had come in from a night of fishing and had caught absolutely nothing. And I think the first thing that we see about Peter, and it seems like a very basic thing, first thing here in your notes, is Peter's nets were empty. Right? Peter's nets were empty. Peter says this, we toiled all night and took nothing. Right? We toiled all night and took nothing. So if you normally come in from a long day fishing and don't catch anything, it's a bit of a disappointment. I can imagine that if you read between the lines before Jesus talks to him here, Peter comes in and says, we toiled all night, we catch nothing. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, yeah, but don't you know that's really what fishing is? Right? It's just wasting time in a boat. Right? And all the guys who will tell you otherwise, I think they're lying to you. So, you know, catch on to that little secret. They're just wasting time in a boat. Especially if you're me, because I don't know how to catch fish. Right? Like, I'm horrible at that. But, you know, you hear the sayings like a bad day fishing is better than a great day at work. I would say, first of all, that depends on your work. But Peter had a really bad day, or in this case, a bad night fishing. Right, he worked all night, had nothing to show for it. I go fishing on average about 0.8 times a year. Right, that's my like I go once a year. Sometimes if we're up at Pam and Rob's parents' house and we get to go fishing, that counts as once. And if we don't make it that particular year, that counts as zero. So we're gonna say 0.8 times a year is about what I fish. I'm not really good at it, right? I just pretty much do whatever Rob tells me to do, okay? put this here, put this on, throw it right over there. Okay, cool. If I don't catch anything, it doesn't like disturb me all that much because I don't have really high expectations. It's not a big deal for me. I can go buy fish at the store. You know, there's probably something else in the refrigerator I can eat if I don't catch any fish. But for Peter, this was a huge deal, right? This was his livelihood. He had a lot riding on catching fish. So when he comes up empty, he goes without. It's pretty significant, okay? So his nets were empty. In this story, Peter had empty nets, and they were literal. But I think we also see he had some sort of emptiness that went beyond fishing. Beyond fishing. He may not even have realized it at this point, but that emptiness was deeper in the core of his being. I think we often have different empty nets in our own lives too, right? We keep putting out our net into the water, hoping something good comes, but it comes up empty, right? I think that happens in our own life. We'll talk a bit about that, but that's what happened with Peter on that night, empty nets. The second thing is this. Peter's skills weren't enough. His skills weren't enough. Now, as far as we know, Peter was a skilled fisherman. As far as we know. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us Peter was an excellent fisherman. Maybe he was mediocre. I don't know. Maybe he was like me. But my hunch is because he was in the fishing industry, he did a little bit better than what I could do. This was talks about here how he is in one of the boats. He's running one of the boats. There's actually two boats. Most likely this is owned boats that are owned by his father. So this is like the family business. And his father was a fisherman. Andrew's brother was a fisherman. So were James and John, his partners here. So Peter knew how to catch fish, right? He knew what he was doing. But despite his skill as a fisherman, it wasn't working for him. At least on this particular night, he had a particular issue that was staring him in the face. He had to come to terms with the fact that his skills weren't enough. And when that happens, we have to deal with an important word, failure. Right? We can feel like a failure. There are times we just come up empty. We're trying, and circumstances surrounding us, you know, can't be avoided. We come up empty. But then there's, and we can't do anything about it. But then there's other times where we kind of have to look at ourselves and we go, you know what, for whatever is going on right here, I'm totally inadequate to do this. I am the cause of the failure. And we have to be honest about that. We realize, hey, maybe we can't get the job done. And when we have things like that in our lives, it shakes us at the core of our being, right? So for Peter here, his skills weren't enough. He had to deal with the issue of failure. And then the last thing is that Peter had given up, right? He was done. He was done. He was done fishing. They were on the shore washing their nets, packing it up. Now, I realized that they are not giving up on fishing altogether, right, at this point. They're not intending to be done fishing. I've had it. I'm totally done as a fisherman. Sell the boats. Go, you know, we'll start weaving baskets or something like that, right? It's not going on like that. They weren't leaving fishing altogether. But they realized that their efforts were futile right now. Any more that they would do, any more that they would try, would yield the same result. So instead of continuing to labor, continuing to work away, they come back in, they clean the gunk and the seaweed off their nets and begin laying them up. Right? They could try again tomorrow. But for us, sometimes we get to a place in our lives where maybe we're just done trying with whatever it is. Right? We're done fighting. We're done putting in the extra effort. We're done putting in the extra time. We've decided it's never going to get any better. And there's no sense in grinding away at something if it's never going to go anywhere. We feel pretty defeated, right? So when we get to this point, not only do we stop trying, we start to stop caring, we start to stop hoping, we let go of our dreams, or that there's just the hope of something better in our life to come in this area. Maybe we even start to doubt whether God can do anything or not. And even if we don't doubt that he can, we don't really believe that he will, right? So you ever been in a place like that in your life, right? Like Peter, I think we all have to deal with this. We all deal with emptiness and failure and defeat at times. We all deal with emptiness, failure, and defeat. Now, it can be in different areas of our life. Maybe it relates to our work, right? Our career, our finances. Maybe we're dealing with an insurmountable debt, it seems, that sort of thing. Maybe it, we're trying and trying, but we just can't seem to get ahead. Can't seem to get on top of it. It could be in a relationship. Maybe in a relationship with a husband or a wife or kids or in a friendship or whatever it is. You feel like you're putting your heart and soul into this thing, but it's just not getting better. It's just not really going anywhere. Maybe it's in our own personal goals in regards to our physical or emotional health, right? Our self-image, our addictions, those sorts of things. Maybe somewhere along the lines, we've just given up on any hopes or dreams that these things could turn into something that we would like in our lives. That can be a pretty painful place. But fortunately for Peter, he's in the presence of Jesus here. Right? He is in the presence of Jesus. And look what Jesus does. In verse 3, he says this, "Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat." The first thing that Jesus does is he asks Peter to do something small. Okay? He gives him a small request, right? He gives him a small request. He asks him to put out a little ways from the shore. Again, it's just a small request, nothing too difficult. A little inconvenient maybe, because he'd probably rather go home and go to sleep after a night of fishing. But it's not a real big deal. Or was it? I mean, think about what this request did for Peter. First of all, it focuses attention on Jesus. Right? It focuses attention on Jesus. Now, maybe Peter was listening to Jesus while he was washing the nets and doing that thing while Jesus was teaching on the shore, but his attention would have been divided between what Jesus was saying and what he was doing, his other responsibilities. And yet, when Jesus asked him to put out into the water a little ways, Peter couldn't ignore him anymore. He couldn't tune him out. He couldn't even just like listen in the background. He couldn't check out. Now Peter's focus was completely on Jesus. So it focused his attention on him in his emptiness and defeat and his failure and his inadequacy and all the things that he's feeling. Jesus focuses Peter on himself. And then the second thing is that Peter had to make himself available to Jesus. Right? I think this is important to catch. Jesus didn't want to just use Peter's boat. Right? He didn't just say, "Peter, hey, let me talk to you a second. I need to teach these people. There's a lot of them. I'm on the shore. It's kind of hard. I want to go out in the water a little ways. Can I use your boat? Hand me the keys." You know, he didn't do something like that. He said, "You know, Peter." He gets in Peter's boat. All right. I'm going to divert here a little bit. So we have a dog at home, and there's times where Maya is our dog's name, where she just wants to. She wants you to do something. She wants you to play. She wants you to let her outside or whatever. And she just like goes to that spot and sits there and looks at you. Like, play with me, right? Or, let me outside. I'm just going to sit here and wait until you respond. "Yes, I know I was out 5 minutes ago, and I know you don't want to let me out, but come on, let me out." You know, just stares at you. She just waits. I got to be honest, that's kind of what I picture Jesus doing here. I mean, Peter's off washing his nets. The boats are empty on the shore, and it says Jesus walks in and stands in the boat. Like, "Peter." You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but, you know, maybe that's what Jesus did. Like, they all kind of went, "What's he doing? What's he doing?" Right? So Jesus catches his attention. And then Peter has to make himself available to Jesus. You know, he didn't want the boat. He wanted Peter. Right? That's what he wanted. He just didn't want to use his boat. He wanted Peter. And so Peter takes him out and makes himself available to Jesus. I think that Jesus sometimes asks us to do some things that might not seem all that significant. They might seem like a really small thing. But they accomplish big purposes in our life. Right? I think that's what happens with Peter here. How many times does it seem like when things are going hard in our life, when we're dealing with stuff, do we pull away from things? Like reading the Bible, or prayer, or worship, or community, connecting, serving, those kinds of things. We pull away because things are really hard right now, and so we back out of it all. And I think, yeah, these kinds of things, which maybe we consider small things, are really, really important because Jesus wants our attention and he wants our availability, right? That's the point here. Jesus wants our attention and he wants our availability, especially when things are difficult, especially when things are difficult. And the fact that Peter gives it to him here sets up what happens next, okay? So verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. All right. Jesus wraps up his teaching. He tells him, hey, put out into the deep. We're going to catch some fish. Now, you know what it's like when you get to the end of like a really long sermon on Sunday, only to find out there's more stuff happening that day, like more coming. Wait, I'm sorry. I know you don't actually get that because my sermons aren't long, right? They're only longish. Yeah, that's kind of the way they are, right? They're just longish. But no, of course, now you don't know how this goes. But you know what? That's kind of what happens to Peter here, right? Jesus is done teaching. He's paying attention. He's doing this sort of thing. Probably falling asleep, right? Because he's been up all night. Jesus gets done, and he's thinking, all right, cool. He's wrapping it up. People are all standing up. They're singing The Stand. You know, worship is done, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, let's go out deeper. Been up all night, gets a little church. He's probably exhausted, and Jesus wants him to do something more. So go out into the deep water and catch some fish. That's not a small request, right? In fact, actually, if you look at the words here, it's not even a request at all. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. No question mark. No request. He just tells Peter, hey, I want you to do this. Will you do this? You know, let's do this. He wants to take him out into the deep. It's an instruction, really. It's almost a command. And it's a biggie because it's a major inconvenience. Right? Unpack the nets, row back out there, get things, sacrifice your time and your energy. You got to be kidding. Now, who knows for sure what was going on through Peter's head when Jesus asked him to do this, but I think it's probably safe to say he didn't really believe anything good was going to come out of this situation. Right? Verse 5, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Translated, this is not going to work. Right? I mean, it's the wrong time of day. It's the wrong place on the lake. This thing has no chance. I mean, that's what Peter's feeling. But the important thing is, he doesn't just act on what he's feeling here. The important thing is that he obeys Jesus' instructions. He says, at your word, I'll let down the nets. Regardless of Peter's actual attitudes or his motivations, he did it for the most basic reason to do anything that Jesus wants us to do because he said so. Because he said so. He just obeyed. It was this raw obedience there. At your word, because you say so, I will do it. Now, I think this might be one of the most beautiful responses I've ever seen because I have four teenage daughters. I would give $1 million sometimes to give them a request or an instruction and hear, yes, Dad, I will do that just because you said so. No crying, no whining. No, that's not fair. I love my daughters, but I haven't seen them all weekend, so I can pick on them a little bit here, right? That's not fair. No fighting about it or whatever. Just, okay, Dad, you said so. I'll do it. Without questioning, without any of that. But it doesn't happen very often. And yet Peter does it that way, right? He just says, not sure this is a good idea, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. Because you do it. I think faith is that. It's stepping out and doing what Jesus says to do. Now, hopefully we're going to do it joyfully. Hopefully we're going to do it willingly and in response to his incredible love for us. But sometimes we just got to do it just because he says so. Right? Everything Peter did in this passage is a yes response to Jesus. Jesus asked him to go in the boat, to put out into the water. He said, okay, yeah. He said, yes. Jesus says, go out into the deep water. He says, yes. He says, let your nets down for a catch. He says, yes. Peter said yes to Jesus. And I think that's obedience here. Obedience is simply saying yes to Jesus, whatever he asks. Right? Obedience is saying yes to Jesus, whatever it is he asks of us. Now, saying yes to Jesus often involves us saying no to ourselves. Right? We've got to let something aside, something we want or something we don't want to do, but we say yes to Jesus. I'm trying to think of the exception to the rule, but I think every time obedience is saying yes to Jesus. Yes in the small things, but yes in the big crazy things too. Right? I think if we want to see Jesus work powerfully in our lives, especially when we're in that place of emptiness and despair and defeat and failure and feeling something like that, if we want to see Jesus work powerfully in us and through us, then we've got to draw near to him and we need to obey. And apart from that, he won't move consistently in our lives. Okay. Now I want you to think about this. Here's the next point. Because Peter obeyed, he experienced God's power. Right? Because Peter obeyed, he experienced God's power. It's one of the hardest times to do it when we're going through difficulties, to listen to Jesus. We'd rather blame him, rather fight him, we'd rather resist him. But when we obey him, it gives him a chance to do something amazing. Right? And that's what happens for Peter. Because he obeyed, he experienced God's power. Jesus came through for him. It says they catch so many fish that the nets are breaking. They have to fill up two boats, and even then, they're so full that both of the boats are sinking. I mean, that's just hard to imagine, right? But imagine the joy on the guy's faces as they're hauling in this fish. Imagine the joy on Jesus' face as he's watching all this unfold. I mean, what an incredible scene that had to have been. Peter experienced God's power. His nets are finally full. Peter was getting everything that he hoped for. But it didn't happen until he took a huge step of faith and obeyed and trusted God. I think we often want to wait for that sense of power or confirmation or confidence or assurance from God that it's going to work out just fine. And then we're like, okay, now I'll go. Now I know God's going to be there in it with us. But you know what? Usually God asks us to trust him, to depend on him, and he gives us the strength that we need in the moment we need it to step in and do what he's called us to do. Usually not before. I hope that what we see in this story is somebody, Peter, who takes steps of faith, who trusts in Jesus, step by step by step along the way. Even when he didn't think it was going to work, even when he was dealing with his own issues, even when he was struggling. And God came through. Right? Jesus came through. Now I think what happens with Peter is quite a transformation. I mean, in just maybe a couple of hours, Peter goes from being someone who is just trying to fill his empty nets with fish, that was his focus, to being someone who actually leaves it all behind. Right? He catches the fish, they bring it into shore, and he's like, forget the boats, forget the nets, forget the fish. I want to follow Jesus. I need to follow Jesus. So this story really doesn't end there. Peter was called by Jesus to have great impact with others. He'd follow Jesus for the next few years. He would be the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, the promised Savior that God sent into the world. He would be the witness to Jesus' death and his resurrection. He would testify or tell people about Jesus, thousands of people. He was a leader in the early church. Look, guys, he didn't know all this when he took his boat out into the water a little ways. He didn't know all this was going to happen. It started with a small step of faith. It just started with a small step of faith. And so that's a question I want to ask and maybe leave us with. Regardless of where you're at this morning, if there's some difficult things, or even if you're doing fine in your life or in your spiritual journey, is there a small step of faith, or maybe a big step of faith, that you need to take today? Okay, maybe especially in areas of where we're empty or inadequate or failing or feeling defeated. Is there a small step of faith that maybe you need to take toward Jesus and listening to him and trusting him and depending on him and obeying him, just like Peter did? Because I think when we do, when we seek him, when we follow him. Doesn't mean he's always going to fix everything, but we can be sure he's going to work in our lives. He's not going to abandon us. He's going to continue to move, and he's going to continue to lead us, and he's going to continue to work in pretty cool ways. So in what ways might he be calling you to depend on him in a deeper way? Maybe even right today. So we're going to pray. I just want to pray, and maybe you've got that thing in your mind that comes to mind. I'm going to take a moment just to pray for this, and the worship team is going to come up. We'll close with a couple more songs at the end of a longish message. There's more. All right, so worship team wants to come up. That'd be great. But I'm just going to pray, and if there is something in particular in your heart that's going on, that you want to offer to God, that you want to depend on him with, a small step that you need to take, or maybe a big step of faith you need to take. This is not for me to see. I just want to encourage you to raise up your hand just in a sign of saying, Jesus, I'm giving this to you. Right? I'm offering this to you. I'm not looking. This isn't like a, you know, anything like that. Just slip your hand up as we're praying and just in your heart of hearts, just say to Jesus, I need to give this to you. I want to depend on you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. And Jesus, we see you do miracles here in this passage. That might be hard for us to wrestle with, because maybe it seems like we don't see miracles happening in our lives in big ways like this today. But you are the God who is all-powerful, who has unlimited resources at his disposal. You can do anything. You can even give us the strength to follow you and obey you when we don't feel we have it. And so with where we're at today, again, whether it's a place of difficulty that we're battling, or whether we're in even just a really good place spiritually, Lord, if there is some step you want us to take, a small one, a big, huge, crazy one, this morning we want to lift that up to you. And so as we're praying, as we're raising our hands to you just to say, Jesus, I want to take that step. I want to trust you. I want to depend upon you. Would you come and meet us and give us the strength that we need to be able to trust you, to be able to obey, to be able to take that small step or that big step that you want from us? We know you know the circumstances of everything that's going on in our hearts. We know you know the difficulties that we face in trusting you and in depending on you. We all have tough times with that. And yet you love us and you want to see amazing things happen in us and through us, just like we see with Peter here. And so we just acknowledge your greatness. We put our trust, our faith, our confidence, our dependence in you this morning in these areas of our life. And we ask you to meet us there and give us what we need to take that next step. Lord God, thank you for your words. Thank you for coming to this place, this earth that you created, to walk with us and to be with us and to interact with us like you did with Peter. And God, you want to do the same in a little different way in our own lives, and we're grateful for that. So lead us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.